glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him.
You are holy, holy, holy. Yes, you're holy, holy, holy.
And I want to see you. Is that your desire? Then he'll make a way, okay? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitor with us, because I don't think she's been here before. And we always say, you come one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're part of it. So welcome. And have a good time in it. But good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, we'll try to get back where we were this morning into Isaiah 59 and continue the thought on in the message. Remember, Wade will be ministering, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. Then when we get on down to another couple of months, a couple of nights, Sundays, we may be having some of the others to minister, because we've got to get to Brother Forney's. I've got a wedding coming up this week. Is that right? This week? Yeah. And then doing that. And then we've got a lot of other things to do. So we'll try to get it all into doing it and everything. But Isaiah 53. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and love that you've bestowed upon us, and thank you for everything. We ask you now that you would just be with us and that you'd guide us in your love and let your light shine into our hearts, that we may follow into you and your word and just walk in the light and see the hour that we're living, because that's the major point on our thoughts today, is to see right where we're at and what's going on. Yes. And we ask you to just have your way. Lord, be with the sick ones among us. Remember the ones, Lord, Darby, Brother Al, Sister Anna, and for Brother Dale, be with him. And Lord, just touch him. Be with Sister Trudy and all of the different ones that are sick among us and needing our prayers, and the older ones, Sister Cleta and them, and their sister there, and the different ones among us, and for Brother Collie, Brother Darty, and all this, for everybody, Lord, Brother Howell, Sister Audrey, and just have your way with all of us. Forgive our sins is one point we want to make sure we're always covered by the blood. And just have your way. Let it be you that would answer all of our prayers and our thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. So to come to Zion, come to the bride. Zion is the bride, the church, you know, the true bride. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We'll try to back up a little bit in our thoughts to not lose anyone, but to try to continue on, and we'll take in this part. Because I just decided to take a time while I was kind of under the point, because I didn't have any problems. Like I said, I was a negative the whole time, but my wife was positive, so I had to stay and take care of her and doing the things and, you know, being in the home there. But the Lord just took care of all of that. But he gave me time to think things over and try to look up a few things and just, you know, meditate upon the hour that we're living. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see. Even now, the things that it's so prevalent that how could you turn against seeing it? Amen. You know, we're looking for this to happen. We're looking for that to happen. And right among us, it's just going right along just as easy, and everything's going right on time and all like that. And the churches and things, everything's getting just right. Yep. setting it up to where that all can be handled. The government's getting it in there, and that's what we'll be dealing with a little bit. This, not trying to be a doomsday, but to be honest and straight as to the hour that we're living and what's taking place, because Satan is running like a roaring lion. But we're promised because we read that. So we're not that far down. We're talking about what now? Persecution, from persecution to revival. Now that's an odd situation, right? Because it doesn't seem to fit. But it does if we take it in the right order and follow it in line. Because, as I said, you take each church age. In each church age, you would have a messenger come forth. That would be a great revival. It would run, you know, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. He preached that message. But the reason he could come on the scene and do as he did was because of the depressions, the persecutions and the things that had been prior to that. It made the people to start thinking, and they get just a little, if you can get a little thought in people's mind, I found that out a long time ago. I don't try to get a big thought to you. I've learned that that's hard to do sometimes because you're trying to get a, and I may think, you know, you may think I do because of the way that I preach and the way I go, but I'm trying to get one little point. Because if I can get Brother Zach just one little point, and see, for a while he's going to think about that. He's going to consider that. He's going to go. It's like I've always said about, you know, you didn't think about the name being in the Bible, N-A-M-E, you know, you didn't think too much about it. You know, well, there it is, it's in there, it's that way. But then you come to the point of, you know, getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, see, you get concerned of saying, it's a name. Amen. Well, you know what, then every page you turn in the Bible, amen, everything you look at, it's got something about the name, because that's that little thing that's clicked.
Right.
See, and if you just get that little thought, and get it to the people, and it'll carry on, because that's the way that it's supposed to be, and it'll run then in the right way. So, see, Luther, he's seen what had happened to all the church and what, you know, the systems was throughout there and coming up into that point, and he's seen all of that, and he's cried out against it. And when he did, it started a revival in the hearts of the people. So then it's not bad to think about that we're going through times of persecution. You say, well, we're not being persecuted. We're not dying for our faith and doing, but we're just being slowly, gradually, the devil's doing that too, getting a little bit of something in there to make us think on, and he's got it to go into where that, you know, you get that point in your mind of what he's doing, it'll work the same way for him. And he'll get his thought in and all, and it just comes in so flattery, you know, because that's what the Bible said he would do. He'd come in by flattery. He'd come in so easy. That means you invite him in. And I remember years ago, I don't know about it now, but when I was thinking on that, it's probably maybe 10, 15 years ago, something like that, I don't know. But at that time, the specific time, Catholic Church was not a member of the World Council of Churches. You say, well, they started. No, they didn't start it. They wasn't a member of the World Council of Churches at the time. That's 20, 30 years ago down the line. See, but they've been invited in. Because at that time, they were people voted in to the church system that, you know, ministers and big guys with the names and to be a part of it. They were not even voted in into the cattle. They wouldn't even, you know, they weren't supposed to be there of that line. They brought them in by flattery to get everything to do it. And you say, well, no, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, we don't have the guy that's the Pope now. I mean, I have nothing against him. He's not a Adolf Hitler going out and killing everybody and doing this and that and the other. He's a nice guy. You know, I mean, things are going pretty good on a lot of scales and stuff like that. So it's not something that's, you know, out of order. So it's not something we're looking for, something to be bad. A big thing come up, you know, the image to the beast and stuff like that. And we looked at it like, I remember my brother was a Baptist preacher, brother-in-law, excuse me, was a Baptist preacher. And we were talking about the great beast of Revelations, or, you know, when it comes up. And he's walking across the land, you know, and things. And I said, what do you think about that? You know, he said, yes. Yeah. And one of these days, said, there'll be a great big animal just stand up and just walk across the earth. And well, I said, a big old animal like a King Kong? And he said, yeah. I said, that's what it'll be. I said, well, where's the deceiving part? I thought it was supposed to be a beast raised up and deceiving. But see, he had that beast as literal. Yep. Right. Well, we ought to know by now it's not that way. Right. I told him, I said, where do you think a big King Kong's going to deceive me? I said, no, it'd be the best thing to try to get rid of him. Yeah. Right. But the thing of it is, see, we get our minds set by what we've been taught. Yep. Right. Okay? And the people of this message has been taught some things, you know, that I've been against them from the very beginning in the basis of trying to get the people to see. When Brother Branham is talking about something, look at what he's talking about, but remember, he's talking about something related to me and you. So let's get this thing to be important to us, or the thoughts to us. You know, what's going on in the land today, I'm trying to get you to look at it. That 6 months ago, we had nothing to worry about. Everything was running, you know, I mean, the economy was the best it had been in many years and things. And it was just, going great. And all at once, it just, you know, well, what had happened? See, the people of the end time message had turned down the message on the basis of what the prophet was teaching. As it did, then God is putting the church under persecution. Amen. Drive her to her knees. Because that way she's going to do one of two. She's going to get out or get in.
That's right.
Yep. Right. And you say, well, you mean God would do those things? God will do things to try you and me to see if we're going to stand for the truth or not.
That's right.
He'll do that because that's his part. Because remember, he's on the end of looking at it. He knows the beginning for the ending. He knows what you're going to do. He's not concerned. Well, if I do this, see, I say, well, if I said something to Brother Donnie, I might hurt his feelings and cause him to get mad at me. And go, he said, God ain't that away. God knows exactly what he's thinking right now, knows exactly what he'll think 10 years from now, and he knows all about it. He don't have to worry about it. He ain't got to figure out, am I going to hurt their feelings? Because he's a pretty good, old Brother Gary Atkins, he'd always say, he said, God is a good raiser of children. You know, because the Bible says, you know, raise up a child in the way it shall go, or even says, beat a child, it won't die.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, the Lord's pretty strong sometimes.
Right.
He says it and means it, and you know, we're supposed to follow it.
Right.
But
right.
All right, but now that's what I'm getting at, or what I was talking about. We're trying to use some of the quotes this morning to bring it down to a point of thinking about that. Here we are in the last days. Now, what are you expecting, Brother Dale? There's a great depression going on right now. It's the world system. And I'm talking about a full world system. We were ending up our thoughts this morning. See, there has never been a time that there has been a depression, et cetera, whatever, worldwide. Never been a time that there's been a plague. Or a virus, or a, because I can't pronounce them, you know, P-D-D-B-B, I can't get all that in there straight. So I call it a virus. Cause that's what it is, you know. But, see, it's never been like this. It's all over the world. Everybody is concerned with it. Some of those countries over there are just totally shut down. Now you just think about say, cause I don't know that much about it, but had a little opportunity to be, go like to Jamaica. Well see, you'd go there and you look around and you say, hey, their economy is built on people coming here as visitors, tourists. Well, you do away with that. What have you got? Man, they just busted. I mean, the poor old people, they ain't got a thing. They ain't got no hopes, like my wife used to, and we'd go over. She said, why don't they get up enough money and leave here and go to America? I said, where are you going to get the money?
Yeah.
I said, they can't make no money. They're doing the best they can to even eat off the trees that's around here. But now, see, that's my point. Looking at a recessions and depressions and things like that is a horrible thing. We know that. It's bad. you know, for people to be hungry. And you just think of all of this. I mean, my wife, she, you know, Darcy, everybody knows she was in the hospital twice during the times, and because she got where she couldn't breathe and things, well, I had to take her. And, I mean, you know, they put her right in. And, you know, the old day going to the hospital, first thing they done is what? IV. Start running the fluids, right? It doesn't matter what you're in there for. They got to have a bit, you know, you got that. But they put her in there, kept her overnight and everything else, moved her from one place to the other. They said, never gave her a bite to eat. She had to just about beg them to get some water to drink. And they were telling them that they could not, you know, give her maybe these things or something because it's what they was looking for. And she was trying to tell them, well, here's this sinus problem that's bothering me here. And they said, yeah, but we're not interested in that. That's not our concern. We're concerned with the heart. We're concerned with the lungs, with those things. And said, we can give you something to take care of those others. But they never give her nothing. Send her back home with nothing. I mean, literally, she went up, stayed all night long. The hospital came back. Not even an aspirin. Not even a thing. They didn't give her nothing. You know why? Because they run the test to see if she was positive. And according to their book, we don't do anything till we find out if she's positive. Then if she's positive, we'll go do this. See? I mean, you think the world would never come to a place like that where that you would actually beg for something in a hospital. And there she come out of the hospital. And even though they proved the point of it, you know, of her being contagious, as we call it, they just sent her home. They didn't give us no guideline book. They didn't tell us what to do. They just put her out the door. They called me up. Hey, I was at home because I couldn't go in the thing. Called me up to come and get me. Well, then she got real sick again a few days later and I took her back to the hospital. Well, they tried a little bit different things, but still, my point is they wound up with this virus thing that they've got. Now they've got books, ways and things. They're not going to do nothing. They're not going to treat you, call you, if you're positive, any of you has ever been positive or not, but say, if I'm positive or if you're positive, call the doctor. You can't go to the office. They will not allow you in the office. You say, oh, yes, they will. They'll do. I can go down there and demand. When I took my wife in the first time, I walked in the door with her, and I was lucky to do that. Because if we'd went in the front door, it would have just been, you go up there right now. I mean, just say, like, take your wife up there. She's sick. You walk up to the front door. That's it. You ain't going to see her until they dismiss her. You know, oh, you're crazy. Well, try it. Come on. Go up there and ask them about it. It won't work. They told me, the guy told me, he said, you ain't going to go no further. Well, I didn't even get a chance to tell my wife goodbye because the lady called me and told me to turn around. What's your name? I turned around here. They're gone. I didn't go in with her nowhere. I went up there to get her. I went back to the front door part of it. I mean, they rolled her right out to the parking lot. I told that lady, I said, well, I'll go park and come back. She said, park your car right there. Said, they'll be out here with her in a little bit. I said, okay. I mean, it wasn't me going into the hospital and getting her to come out. They rolled her right back out. What's your point? My point is one thing. They're doing what they've got the books and lines and the things, those guidelines has told them to do this. Check the heart. Check the lungs. Don't worry about nothing else. Do you know that every time you enter that hospital, you're going to be tested? You're tested for a virus as quick as you enter the hospital. You say, yeah, but they can't do those things. What are you going to do? Call your House of Representatives. Tell him to meet you at the hospital. You understand? My point is what? We have reached a stage that I hope to God that it'll open the eyes to people that are at least listening to what I'm saying to the point of one thing. We're at a place now they can do anything they want to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. If I'll get me a lawyer, he ain't getting in the hospital. If he is, he's tested for a virus and thrown in the bed. And my wife was telling him, I need something to drink. Need some bathroom right around there. They didn't get her up and take her around there. She had to go. Why? Because it's the point that they're set to do what they're doing. I ain't saying that the nurses is a problem. See, they're just so shortcut until they had to do. Man, I turned around when I was looking for my wife, I turned around and looked down through the hall. My Lord, is all these people sick? Because all I could see for 100 foot was people just like that. Yeah. And he said, you're not going no further. I didn't want to go no further. But you understand my point. My point is one thing. Don't get it in your mind that you are so special a people. You are this, you are that, and you're not going to have problems. And don't get it in your mind that God is going to daddy you like a doty old granddaddy. He wants to know if his children will stand for the word.
That's right. Amen.
If he's got to put us through tests and trials, he'll put us through it. You remember the story I always tell of the two times in the Bible there where, you know, if a prophet come and give you a sign and it come to pass, you're supposed to hear him. But there's another one in there if he comes and gives you a sign and it comes to pass. But he leads you to other gods. Don't hear him because I sent him among you to test you and try you. I love to get those quotes where the prophet said, God wants the devil to see who he's fighting against. Well, I want him to know who I'm fighting. I'm like this. I'm sorry. I'm just human. And the way I talk is crazy. I know it. I'm never mad at the devil. Old people say, I'm so mad at the devil. I'm just so mad at, I would love to beat him up. He can't help being who he is and what he is. He's doing a good job. And you know what? He's driving you to the Lord.
Amen.
He beat them children of Israel until they was ready to leave Egypt. But you say, yeah, but I just can't see it. Well, why not read your Bible one time and see what you're talking about, the things. And you'll see that we're right here at the end. We're right here now at the point of what we looked at times past and tried to figure out what did this mean? What does that mean? What is to come in the end time? How's it to be? What is to bring this to pass? And none of us had any idea. Oh, we read things. We had a concept or a thought. But no. But now we're living it. That's, if you don't get nothing out of the message today, get that one thing. This has been on my heart for months and years, really, to try to get you to see where we are right now. And that's not doomsday, because that's what I titled a message to where that it would even the message title, from persecution to revival. But my approach is from what? Persecution is what drives us to our knees, and driving us to the knees brings God on the scene, and God coming on the scene, he revives us.
Amen.
So it's not to say we're glad for the doomsdays. No, I'm glad to have the truth for the doomsday. It may not mean a thing in the world to you, but it's just like I said there this morning where I heard this brother had said that, you know, the bride wouldn't take none of these viruses, the real true bride. No, I don't agree with it.
Amen.
You know why? Because I watched my wife for 2 months going through horrible, in and out of hospitals and all like that. I believe she's a part of the bride of Christ. But I seen that to where that it seemingly that I'd pray and God wouldn't even seem to hear me. I'd pray and ask him, said, Lord, have I done something wrong? Reveal to me there's something wrong. I'm her pastor. But you see, sometimes then you'd have to just sit down and think and listen. And eventually he'll find you somewhere and talk to you. And you go through a couple of months of just horrible like that, but then come out of it thinking like this. You know what? To think that my wife was to the point that God could trust her to be what she's supposed to be, and he would trust her and allow the devil to get after her with all of this sicknesses and things. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be happy whatever takes place. And to realize then that Satan cannot get to you and me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it doesn't say the enemy comes in. No, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then God will raise up a standard. And that's what he's doing now.
Yes.
See, if we'll just listen to that and take it from there on and go.
Amen.
And say, all right, Satan, bring it on. It's nice to think that your name is thought of in heaven.
Amen.
Well, I ain't doing too good. I'm sick. It's like I told a lady one time. I said, the Bible said all things to work together for good. She said, look, you telling me that? I said, my husband is dead and said my son is right there. She knows what I meant. I mean, the boy was a little off a little bit, you know. And said, you say that that's, that I'm supposed to be content? Well, see, she never thought what, anything whatsoever about what I was talking about. The Bible says, whatever state you're in. Do you realize that? That he would actually think enough of you to turn the devil loose on you?
Amen.
But there's one thing he always said. You can only go so far. Right?
Yep.
Only so far, Satan. You ain't going to get his life. You can do this. You can take his family. You can take all these things. But see, you ain't getting his wife because she was part of his life.
Right.
They ain't getting you. Can't take you down.
Amen.
Come on. We're to change our thoughts about what we're doing instead of thinking that we're, oh, we're pretty better. Well, we just have so many problems. I like Brother Forney in that wowsy, wowsy woo. I want to get to hear that again.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad he's up preaching.
Amen.
We need him.
Amen.
We need the ministry in this message to declare the thing. And sometimes you got to go through a whole bunch of troubles and heartaches and trials to wind up with the right answer. To be able to see. But listen, let's get a few more of these quotes that we were doing this morning and then let's get to a thought. All right, let's go back to number 9 that you was this morning. Thank you. I wrote myself a note and then forgot it. Thank everybody for coming. Our anniversary was, Friday the 7th of this month and, you know, it was nice to have people to come when they know, hey, you got to stay over there because you're supposed to be contagious, you know. And you stay over there, we come over here. And we tried to do the best we could to be. But to think that there was a lot of you chose to come that day and fellowship our anniversary, our 62nd anniversary. Now, that was good, and I was glad of you getting to come and to do, okay. All right, let's go to number... let's pick up on number 9. Okay. Now we've done read maybe some of this, but we'll get to point. What are we trying? What is our point? What is our thought? The bride of Jesus Christ, we're not concerned with the Jews. We're not concerned with the foolish virgins. We're not concerned with those things. We're concerned with the things that are said in relation to the bride of Jesus Christ. All right. And the bride of Jesus Christ, that there's going to be persecution brought upon the people that are even the true bride of Christ.
Amen.
But see, that's where we think. But God would not let us go through these troubles and things. That's where you don't know God.
That's right.
You think you do. You don't know God. He's doing that to try to make something out of us instead of tearing us down.
Amen.
Right? And listen. And what about, that's what made me think of Wade with Job and them the other day. What about he lost everything? Multi-millionaire form, we call it today. Lost every bit of that. Lost all of his kids. Lost everything he had. But yet when he finished, he had a revival. Because he had double his animals and double his children. And now you remember what that was? Not double his children. I forgot how many he had. Anybody? Had seven that died. See, God gave him seven more. Not seven more numbered. He didn't get 14 kids. He made sure these, you know, this seven over in glory was his. And this seven over here was his. That's the 14 you get out of it, you know, and bring it. Because that was his point. You know, he gave him them. All right. So then let's look at the church system and see what's taking place. And then we'll see just for a minute what is going to be done in the future of things. So it is in this age that the churches are going to come together. And as they even now are even now controlling world politics. Now you see what they're doing now. They're controlling the politics.
Right.
Okay? They put in who they want to and take out who they want to. All right? They will soon control the finances of the world. Why? Because they're going to make a covenant. All right? And then if you don't belong to the World Organization of Churches, you won't be able to buy or sell. You will lose all. Okay? Those who stay true to God and keep their garments clean from the defilement of this world system of church orders will be physically bereft. Amen. You know, that's what I said. You go ahead and do what you want to. You say, oh, that's foolish virgins, Brother Dale. You just don't understand. I just understand you're scared to death. Let me back up no way for nothing. I know what fear is, and I know what it'll do to you. And you get that fear in your mind that there's something there that's not right. You better get it right. Because fear is worse than anything in the world. I'd rather face any lion in the world than to see an act of fear. Because we could at least stand with God. And say, come on. Satan, take me. But you ain't going to get all of me. Because there's something inside of here that you can't touch.
Amen.
You can't move it from that. Listen.
Right.
So there will be presented to them a great temptation to give in. Preachers will give in with the excuse that they will serve God within the framework of the Antichrist beast system. They will give in to the flatteries and banishments of the hierarchy. Comes to mind about Brother Tom Fawbush. He saw the water baptism. He was a Methodist, and I think it's right. It's Methodist, yeah. And so he goes and gets an audience with the pastor. And it's 3,000 or 4,000 people, you know. So he got a chance to talk to him, and he went in and he started talking to him. And the old pastor was a good old pastor, you know. I can just see him now. He's just sitting there, yes, sir. And Tom was telling him this was wrong and that was wrong. Yes, sir, and yes, sir, and all like that. Tom, he was just, I'd have got it and walked out, but Tom's like here. He said, now what are you going to do about it? And the guy said, do about what? He said, what are you going to do about that water baptism? He said, I'm going to just have to stay with what my church doctrine. It didn't make no difference what the Word of God said. It's going to be his church doctrine. Listen, holding hands with the devil, it is time to wake up and hear the voice of God. Okay, run it on over. Let's go. Number 10. The false church groups will come together in a world council of churches. This world council of churches is the image erected to the beast. Revelations 13:11-18 is running under there. I cut that and sliced it, but that's all right. It's not taking nothing out. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great is that control. See, you say, oh, well, the churches don't control. I'm glad you said that. The churches don't control. That's my point for the whole rest of the evening. The church is not to control. It's other people. You ain't got to worry about the church. It's the people. You say, well, the people's the church. Oh, okay, well, come on for you. He says this ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. How's he going to wind up at the head? They're going to vote him head. Now, with it in the beast and the things, you know, they vote him in. We give him the power. We are the people that give the devil the power. This is so because in Revelation 17, 3 to 6, it states that the whore, Mystery Babylon, is seated on the beast. She is controlling the last, our fourth empire. This Roman Catholic Church, Roman Church is doing that. With the world church system under her, Rome will be controlling, and this image church system will be obedient to the Rome because Rome controls the gold of the world. Now there's the key for the rest of, for an hour now, for, we're going to, so hold with me. The gold of the world. The Catholic Church, back 61, I think it was, they had $168 billion of gold. Brother Joe gave me a readout of some things that goes with it tonight. But you think of what that means today. If 1960 gold was maybe, might have been $100 an ounce by 60. I don't know. It used to be $35 an ounce is what it was. And you think now, what is it, $1,500 or so an ounce? And you take $168 billion and multiply that by 1,500? Bill Gates wouldn't have a change. None of them guys. Put them all together and they wouldn't have a change. That's what we're going to get to in a minute. What I want you to see is there's something running this thing. This didn't happen haphazardly. This virus didn't come into place haphazardly. There's a fellow out of Texas out there. I won't quote his name, but he said that the thing of it was, said the people, the money, he said, they don't see what that's doing. That's doing it there. See, they're controlling. It's not what you see. It's not what's out in front of us. The thing out in front of us is happy. Everything's running good. It's what you don't see is the danger of what these things is meaning to all of us. Right? Watch now. Does all the people have to belong to the world church system or be at the mercy of the elements? For they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or head. Let me say this without a big life out of you. 3 months ago, you couldn't buy toilet paper. Now, what in the world is my grandson got it from my wife about it. Well, what in the world has toilet paper got to do with the virus? I mean, you know, I mean, all at once we're out of toilet paper. All at once toilet paper is going sky high and you can't even find it. And then a virus hits. What's them two got to do with each other? That man said, he said the Chinese knew that they could force us into a worldwide depression. Some of you may have heard him and remembered it. Said they knew they could force us into a depression. You say, well, what's toilet paper got to do with it? Right? What's it got to do with it? It just shows it can be done.
Right.
It's just showing it can be done. You couldn't go to the store. Now, come on, folks. Something is going wrong here. Somebody tell me something. Because here we are in a day when all these big corporations, big things, they just shut down. Airplanes can't fly no more. You can't do anything. Who's in charge? I remember when they, in the 50s, that they had an antitrust suit against General Motors because General Motors was bigger than the government. And now the government just tells General Motors, shut down. Stop all the airplanes. Shut her down. Right. Who gives orders? Right. Somebody did. But nobody will stand up and say. If they think China done this, why have they not retaliated against China? Because they can't prove it. Come on. You mean to tell me that China could come up and bring up all of these things and we won't throw a bomb down them? We done it in Japan. We done it back in World War II. Because the country went against us, we bombed them. But you see, somebody is pulling the strings. It ain't just what you're looking at. I want you to get that little thought in your mind and then just consider the rest of the day of what you're talking about. Roland, this great power of the church system will persecute the true bride. You say it ain't coming. He said it, so go ahead. Do what you want to. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. Her ministers will be forbidden to give comfort and truth to the people who need it. But this is the part I love. See, that's why I'm not a doomsday. But he says it's going to come upon the true bride, right? You agree with that part up there? It's going to come. Now I can get this part and agree with it easily then. But before the Antichrist in person takes over. This complete world system, before he fully takes everything over of the churches, the true bride will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord. God will catch away his bride to the great marriage supper. Amen. We got something to look forward to. We got a wonderful thing laying right ahead of us. All right. But you got to go through these steps to get there. Don't get caught up into the little steps of things. You know, walk as we walk. I ain't going to the White House and say, I tell you what, Mr. Trump, now I got this thing figured out. I want you to let me in here and get me on the air and I'll tell the world how to run everything. They don't want nobody to tell them how to run it. The guy that's smart enough to run it knows how it's running it. And he's doing it. It don't have to be one man. See, we've always looked at the Antichrist as being one man. Remember, you've got to have a people with a pope as head of to be an Antichrist, but not just by one, not a pope, you know. You can't do that. You got to have a system. Because he's going to stand out. That's what I've always told you. He's going to stand out in the open. And the people are going to be so happy about him. Oh, ain't he nice? Look how nice. Look what he's doing. He's paying off all of our national debt. Because, see, the church ain't going to be mentioned. That's what I want to get to. If I miss it, I'll get it later when I preach it. It's the point. The church ain't out in the open. This image to the beast and thing is going to be made to where it will pay off our national debt, which national debt would be the worldwide national debt of all the countries that are on the gold standard. As I said this morning, then, if they got $168 billion in gold, I don't see the Vatican and them walking on the gold, you know. No, no, that's silly. At one time, General Motors was larger than the government. All right, General Motors, we'll say, had $100 billion in assets. You didn't look around and, well, where's that? No, that's mine, and that's mine. That's my pile of million-dollar bills. That's my... You see, you're silly. That's silly what I'm trying to get. Right? Who was it? No, Walton. He lost millions or billions. He said paperwork. It don't mean a thing, just paperwork. You say, well, get on to what you... Okay, let's get on to what we're doing. Come on, where are we at? We're on number... which one? I think we're on 10 or 11. All right, let's go to 11. Now watch him. This is from the Message of Spoken Word of the original seat. Now I believe with all my heart That's the way it'll wind up. There will be, like a union, a boycott. All such places as this here will be closed down. And you'll not be able to speak unless you got a permission or a license from this Federation of Churches to hold a service. It's almost, it shows, it does that now. Even in the denomination, shows where it's at. Yes, sir, you have to have it, and that's where it'll wind up at. That's my prediction. Now listen to it. That's what I know. I don't mind giving you all the hold of what I said, because I'm trying my best. You ain't going to come up, "Well, Brother Dale, I found one. You didn't find that. That's your prediction." Now, I'm going to show you the prophet said a prediction, but I'd rather have the prophet's prediction than your "thus saith the Lord." Any hurt feelings? Put them in the seat in the britches and sit down on it. Listen. And that's where it'll wind up at. That's my prediction. As a servant of Christ, through the understanding that I have of the word and the inspiration, that's where it'll come. The all signs are pointing to the end. I just got through speaking on that, and it's even to the unwise virgins will be the beginning, and I'll go ahead and run it on up. Thank you. No, okay. Go ahead then to number 12. This is from a super sign of 62. Let me make a prediction. I'm not prophesying. I'm predicting. Okay. I predict that in the next few years that all organization, religions will be forced to take a stand. And they will have a union of churches, and a great boycott will follow this union of churches. All denominations will be forced into it. All of them. If they don't, there will be a horrible boycott. Nearly every one of them today has not knowingly joined that World Council of Churches, selling their birthrights, Protestants, brothers with a mother, Catholic, Rome. They'll do that. You know, the Bible said that the tares will be bound, bundle first. They are bundling all in one great group. The Bible said they would make an image unto the beast. I believe it'll come to pass that shortly, that if people do not join some organization, some churches go into their own doors will be closed. Okay? Let's see. Got a couple more, then I want to slam the one and we'll quit then. Questions and Answers, 1959. Then the dragon spurts water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the seed. That's when you Protestant churches under the Federation of Churches, which is the image to the beast, which is now being formed, and there will be a boycott upon all churches like this. Like we're in a great tax gathering right now, here now. Now that's him. Because remember what it was? They had the tax case against him. Okay, listen. Like we're in the great tax gathering right here now, a dispute trying to say that we're not a church. We got a constitutional right to say that we're a church. Huh? Come on, roll it on up. We've broken every constitutional law that they can break, and soon the Federation of Churches, which all the churches and the denominations are invited into, and the devil's got in and making worldliness and everything else in local church members, so forth like that, and great congregations and classes in society. When the little old church is still down yonder, now I like that one. Even though all that's going on, what's happening? Little old church is still down yonder, being born again in a mess like any birth is. Still paying the price, still getting down and dying out, acting the same way. It's in this day. All right. Go ahead to the next one. Mark of the beast on today and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. To reject it is the mark of the beast. Ever who sees the Holy Ghost that you're supposed to receive it and don't do it, automatically you take the mark of the beast. Yeah. And you see how easy. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, you've got the mark of the beast. No, I ain't got the mark of the beast on me, boy. I tell you what, no. You don't even know what the mark of the beast is. He just told you. See? The mark of the beast is to reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It ain't no stamps and this ideas and that ideas. Come on. Automatically, you'll take the mark of the beast because there's only two classes to exist. Okay, go ahead. 14. Therefore, they are uniting themselves now. And your pastor here and many can tell you that's reading that they are, have the ecumenical movement of the world. And then there's a Lutheran minister over it that if there comes a disaster would happen in this neighborhood here, if we are not united with that ecumenical move, then our churches can no more be churches, no more be church. And they can use it for a storehouse. Or if one of us brothers would see somebody dying or hurt and try to minister to him any spiritual blessings, we could be shot for it exactly right. We could be given 10 years in federal prison to ministering to the sick. I think that's in where we're at. So go ahead and roll. What are we on? 15? Okay. And he's talking about the kings of the earth. So roll it on up to where the wine and what it is and all. Scarlet in the Bible represents royal. The color scarlet means red. And beast represents power. Did you notice the beast come up out of the sea? That was in the Revelations the 13th. And when you see the beast coming up out of the sea, it's meant that this power was raising up among the people. Okay, now listen. But in Revelation 13, when this lamb came up, he came up out of the earth. No people. United States. That was the whole thing. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power, and then he received power and spoke of like a dragon did before, you just got to mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution with the same thing that they did in pagan Rome many years ago. For it's thus saith the Lord. Okay. Now what's it setting upon a beast of power? Okay. Now look at the next one and then we'll try to get to our thought for the time. All right. Because this is, there is a man here that can turn on the lights, 1963. Now they were, no, this ain't the one. This is one right before that because it's a cult. We're going to close up. You have to be one of them or not. You're either in that or you can't do nothing. Can't even buy or sell. That's it. You're daring to pray for the sick. And if you're caught ministering to any of the sick or any person with any spiritual thing in there, you're subject to a federal law to be executed. That's exactly right. See? You know that? That's right. It's in their papers. Yes, sir. And you cannot do it. You have to belong to the cult. You have to belong to the cult. Now, cult is anything that's not according to accepted practice. There ain't no accepted practice what they're doing. All right. Roll it on up. I want to get this next one. Then we'll just preach for a minute. Off the message, the stature of a perfect man. See how that deceit, what they're trying to do, give money away to buy. Why? They're trying to break it. Isn't that something now you think about what he's talking about? He's talking about we're friends. Now we're, you think with me. I know I'm carnal, but think with me. We think that China brought up something of this or had something to do with this virus. Did they stop buying from China? You know that China's in charge of most of your medication. Now, why didn't they immediately, if they could stop every airplane in the air in 45 minutes, why didn't Trump, as quick as that happened, say, doom, and cut off all connections to China? No. even though you think that's your crook. He's the one that pulled the plug. He's the one that blowed us up. It's just not a, there's something else behind this thing more than what you're thinking. Somebody's behind it, not what you're looking at. See? They're trying to break us on the gold standard, and the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, owns the gold of the world. Someone says $168 billion. $168 billion. There you are. Throw her right back on the gold standard, and you people just keep your homes and things, but you belong to the Catholic Church. The nation belongs to the Catholic Church.
Right.
Now, you can argue with him. That's what I said. You know what, really, to me, and I'm so sorry and ashamed of the fact of doing it, but you realize that when you expose error, that people are going to make a choice. They'll make a choice. When you expose error, people will make a choice. And they'll say, I don't agree with you. Well, if you don't agree with what I just read, then you're saying you don't agree with Brother Brown. Oh, I agree with what he said. Well, he just said, those are right back on the gold standard. Now, the gold standard is the only thing, that gold is the only thing that's acceptable for paying debts. You know what I'm talking about? You don't pay debts with money. You pay debts with backing of whether you got the gold or not. All right? Now, for a few minutes, I want to take that thought. Brother Branham, emphatically, I've got them. If you want them, you'll be glad to give them to you. Where he's talking about that the Catholic Church will pay off the national debt. Well, that's where I had my ideas set more on, and they still are. I'll get to that. Of the church and the Catholic Church paying debts. No. It's the national debt of the entire world that's being concerned right now.
Right.
Not where the Catholic is going to give us. We don't need no money for to churches. But now listen for a minute. Because you wind up and sell your birthright by falling after the gold. The Jews have the stocks and bonds. All right? Now, they have gold and all. Don't miss it. Just get the prophet and what he's saying. But Rome has the gold. It's not Rome as a nation of Rome. Right? It's kind of funny that little place over there called the Vatican is not even a nation. It's a nation of its own self. So what? Yeah. But now listen. One of these days, we know the Bible says that there'll be a covenant made between the Jews and the Antichrist. All right? They're going to pay off the national debt. Well, you've heard him tell it over and over. He said, you think them tobacco company people and this, that, and the other is going to wind up and do away with the monies and this, that, and the other, or do it the sensible way like Castro did. He's come in, done away with everything, took in the bonds, burned them, and done all kind of things, made new money and started it over. He said, you think they're going to do it here? He said, no. They're not going to do that here. He said, because these Brown and tobacco companies own too many millions of dollars, and they're not going to do it. So what's it going to do? They're going to pay off our national debt. National debt, not of the church. I hope that clicks in you, because maybe it would. I know, listen, I got a little sense. I know they pay the national debt. But I always looked in that national debt, and I'm still looking at it. Suppose we'll get to that in a second. There is a connection in the national debt. Because if they pay off our national debt, then we don't owe nothing. So us churches are going to be great. We don't owe nothing. It's be automatic to be in the church. But my point was just looking at it like they're going to pay off a church's debt. Churches don't have any debt. It's the world system. And who controls the world system? I don't have to worry about the government getting an antitrust suit against me. How about you, Donnie? You think they better be careful what they're doing because you got more money than they got? No. You say, well, that's silly. That's true. Instead of you getting your eyes on one man as the Pope, as this whole thing is taking place, why don't you get your eyes on a system? A system that has everything set to where they can pay it off. And now, I wouldn't name the guys, but you know what I'm talking about. Take the Illuminati. You go home and get this, what do you call it, wheel, a thing of fortune. They have 400, 500 billionaires. And you know what's so funny to me when it happened? I read this one day in the paper, and I sat there, and I just dying laughing. This is a few years ago when Russia went fail. You know that there's more billionaires in Russia now than the United States. Now, that was according to the news when Russia went down. There's more billionaires in Russia. Putin has his own 100 airplanes. He's got his own army. See? Those people are filthy rich. We think of them as paupers. No. Think of your super rich. You name them in your mind without having a name, put it on tape or this, that, and you get this one, loans this, and this one made that, and this and done that, and this and done that, and you got what? 50, we'll call it as a number, of people who have hundreds of billions of dollars in assets, which are backed by bonds or money won. See? I mean, it all's got to be backed by bonds because that's your part, but then you do away with the bonds. What are you saying? We better be looking for who the big guy is instead of fooling with a little puppy dog. Because the little puppy dog, he might bite you in the heels. But the guy that's got the control. You mean they can tell you you can't sell toilet paper? They can tell you that this, that, or the other? But it's the national debt that we owe. Not just the national debt of America. That's the part we're concerned with. The national debt of the entire world that's on the gold standard. And like I said two or three times, isn't it odd all of this virus has struck all over the world? The national economy is going down because all over the world, every nation is failing. Let it keep rolling for a little while. How many trillions have we borrowed since they started the virus? You realize what a trillion is? I can't even think that way. How many billions does it take to make a trillion? Is it 100 billion to make a trillion or something? Somebody give me numbers. That's, but anyhow, a trillion is higher. Okay, 1,000.
1,000 billion.
1,000 billion. My goodness. And they've already borrowed what we already had before this started. We was already 10 or 13, I remember enough. 17 trillion was already our national debt before anything started. Now they've added, we'll say, another 10 trillion. This is a number. How in the world are you going to pay that off? It's the prime time for the Antichrist to step in now.
Amen.
And take over. And pay off our national debt. Well, all right, now, that's who you belong to. Say what you want to. I tell you what, I'm my own man. That's okay. But if you can't buy a roll of toilet paper, you ought to learn a little bit. And I don't make that as a joke. I just make it as a silly. It's because what it is. Something happened. Somebody wound up with toilet paper involved. Well, what if you owned all the toilet paper? Come on, Aaron, what would you do if you owned all the toilet paper? I'd just raise the price of toilet paper, and then I'd be an instant trillionaire, billionaire, and whatever. I'm just making a point. Forgive me, taking a little time to just talk to you about it. We're sitting in the worst depression that has ever been. When any move whatsoever now determines whether we exist another month. You think you're going to take away this thing now that you've already set in the mind of the people? That if they get sick, they just got to tell their boss? I don't feel good. He says, well, go home. The government will pay your pay. They go home and get paid. What's going to happen if they stop that? Poor old people are going to have no way to go. They've got us right where they want it. This is the end, the beginning of the end. They can call in anything they want to. It doesn't matter what you've got in the bank. I'll show you one in here where Brother Brown says they have the paper. He's talking about the bonds and the cash, and he said, and they have the paper that they can change the money. Well, that guy out of Texas, they asked him one day, he asked a fella, a big man, and said, they're talking about changing to plastic, you know, going to credit cards.
Right.
Said, how long would that take to enact? He said, overnight. You got a pocket full of money. You got $10,000 in your hip pocket. And Mud, I'll tell you, that's the way old Tom was. And I ain't throwing off on him because he's dead and gone. But Tom's about like a man there at Gillsville was. They asked him one day, he was selling, his son was paying somebody for buying a house. And the son couldn't, the bank wouldn't let him have the money instantly. And, you know, and the daddy looked over at old Shorty Standards. And them was, he looked over at him and said, Daddy, you got any money? He said, how much is it? It was a lot of money then, about $13,000. He just pulled out his billfold, you know, and just laid out the money. You know, he had it with him, you know. You think you got that? All they got to declare. You remember here a few months ago when that one of those big guys overseas in the church, they called in all of that money, and we'll say $100 bills. They called it in. He brought in millions that he had stored up. And had them just sitting in a room, millions of dollars. They took every one of them. There wasn't nothing they could do. Well, they can't get my money. Well, I don't believe in burning it, but it'd probably be a good thing to do. I'm just trying to be straight to get you to think one thing about what's going on today. The world today is in the very primest time that it could have ever been for the Antichrist to take over and pay off the debts and pay off the thing. They pay our national debts off, and when they do, we belong to them. And you can't buy or sell without having their card stamped. But we'll just fight. Fight what? Come on. All over the whole world. Not just one country in trouble, all over the whole world. Come on, musician. Think on these things. They have the gold. They have the bonds. The contract between the Antichrist and the Jews will not be seen, I'm quoting Brother Branham, will not be seen by the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that. I believe that. All right. But it don't mean it can't be made or set in order. Because I did learn a little bit, Tony and us could tell you a little bit about General Motors. When they come in and they voted in a new contract, that was not a, we'd get on the news and they'd say, oh, General Motors and them has reached an agreement on the contract. They got a contract. Mm-mm. You don't have a contract until you've got the rank and file. Rank and file voted a contract to accept it or reject it. If they rejected that contract, they went back and started contracting again. See? What are you saying? They can do what they want to. And ain't nothing you can do. Well, I'll just get me a gun and I'll go out here. Help yourself. We'll see you down to jail if you're alive. Well, what are you going to do? Now, find that quote in there and I'll give it back to you. Where Brother Brown says, you'll meet in homes. You'll meet in old store buildings and places. But you won't be telling nobody you're going to have a meeting. Because you don't dare do that. You say, yeah, but we can't travel. No, but we may be able to get together where we're at. We will serve God, if you understand what I mean. All of these things is not bringing me to a down-and-out situation. It's bringing me to a place of understanding one thing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Because when that happens out there and all those things start pounding on us in the wrong way, God will move on the scene. I'm in there. I'm in that point and I'll stay in that point. He will always take care of his people. You don't have to worry about it. If you're hungry, just speak it. You don't have to worry about it. All of that is in order. Think on these things. Maybe I've been slamming around all day long enough for you to get something out of it. But I'm looking for the greatest revival that has ever been in the world. Because if you understand why I keep emphasizing, the whole world is in a depression. Well, you know what? The little bride is around the world. Maybe little groups here, little groups there. Around the world. Little people down here in this place, little people there. Serving God. She ain't forsaken. She's going up. Let's stand. Father, we've tried to make it plain and I know we're just sorry. But you take it and you make it plain. We're not doomsdays. We honor and glory your name because you've told us what will take place. We know what to look for. We know to know and to realize that you'll be right there when we have need of. And we don't have to worry about it because you always are. It may look bad. It may look horrible. But yet who worries about what it looks like? It's what you are and what you've said. We love you and we thank you. Be with the people on the way home and said, Lord, consider these things and just let it be in their mind and thinking that, Lord, we're trying to get one thing. Send a persecution. Because there'll be a revival. Follow thereafter. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And let's, what we got?
That sounds like
home to me.
Like where I want to be, there'll be no tears to dim my eyes again.
What about it?
The hills will echo with
the persecution. All the way to a revival. All the way to the latter rain. Latter rain is the opening of God's word. With the Spirit pouring down to open that word.
And I hold to me. Like where I want.
Are you worried? No.
There'll be no
concern, yes.
To dim our eyes.
We're not thinking
again
about coming 50 years of studying
the
one prophet's message.
With the story.
You say, yeah, but you got to contradict. Show me. Come. I'll at least do that. You come and show me the contradictions in this message. But you be willing to take them when I show you where you're contradicting it.
That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me.
Glory.
Like where I long to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes.
How can you be happy when you see things are coming upon us? Because I know God will be there.
And glory where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Anybody have a need of anything? Come and let's pray together. Remember, we'd be doing Wednesday, and then next weekend we'll see how everything works. And next couple of weekends we're going to be jumping around doing things and all like that. We got a wedding to do. We know that. We got Brother Forney wants us to come dedicate his church, and we don't want to do that. We're just going to drive up on a Sunday where we won't take up nothing to be no. We'll be careful. We'll go up on Sunday and ride right back, dedicate his church. We just won't be tied up into everything and put us in a position. We just trust the Lord. But thank you for taking over and doing and being in the times when we needed you. Father, that truly does sound like home to me, that I can depend upon you. I can trust you. I can know that you have everything in charge. That it doesn't make no difference what all of these things are doing. We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with you, Lord. We're not concerned with who that will come forth and all this will be, Antichrist, these things and all. We're concerned with one thing, and that's to come to the place of loving you and cherishing your love and your glory unto us. Bless the people. Be with everybody on the way home. Give us a safe journey, and let your grace be there in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.